A number of weeks ago, it goes back to this past summer, I had received the news of a tragedy of a young lady and a young man who were recently married, and the husband went to be with the Lord on their honeymoon and found out they were students at Faith Baptist Bible College. Faith Baptist Bible College is, we call it a sister institution. Their president spoke here a few years ago in our Bible conference, Dr. Jim Tillotson, that we're very like-minded and warm-hearted, but they're up in Ankeny, Iowa, north of Des Moines. And I was there a number of weeks ago and actually tried to seek the Lord about the proper approach to this particular service. What's the best route to go? And I knew Carol Ann was coming. And I heard Cheyenne share her story, and I thought, you know, I think that though it's pretty heavy, it is what it is. And so I contacted Cheyenne, and she so graciously was willing to come down. Cheyenne Cottrell, is it Cottrell or Cottrell? Either way, it'll work. Okay, sorry, we'll just call her Cheyenne. She is a senior at Faith Baptist Bible College. She's from Kansas City, Missouri. She is studying elementary education, and she is working now in student teaching and hoping to graduate, Lord willing, in May and go back to Kansas City, where she says she is a by birth Kansas City Chiefs fan and is going to go back home and serve there and work there out of She has her home church there. But I just thought this is unique. She's not here from Bob Jones, but she's one of us. So we're going to adopt her this morning as a part of Bob Jones University family. She said she came here for the AACS when she was a junior in high school. And I said, Bob Jones is a whole lot better than the AACS week. So we want you to come and feel the love that we have for you. And so I wanted to come, and I said, just speak out of your heart, tell us your story, and tell us what the Lord has done for you. So would you welcome Cheyenne this morning?
Okay, this is the first time I've spoken to this big of a crowd. So I'm actually super nervous right now. But July 27th of 2019, I got married to Dalton. Yes, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. I've heard it said like four different times to different pronunciations. But that picture up on the screen was taken July 27th. It was probably one of the greatest days of my life, being married to my best friend. We dated for 1 year. We were friends for 2 years. We came in as baby freshmen at Faith Baptist Bible College. And July 30th, he passed away. We were on our honeymoon in St. Augustine, Florida, and I did witness him drown right in front of me, and that is hard because I did everything in my power to try and pull him back into shore, but God said no. And through the last 7 months, I've been learning that's okay when God says no. But what I've learned in the last like 22-ish years that I've been alive is that when you go through a hard time, when you come out of it, you're trying to figure out who you are. And I remember talking to my friend a couple weeks after Dalton's death. I explained to her, and I was like, I'm a 21st century Job and a modern day Ruth. And I'll explain what that kind of means, but I have a testimony that's so unique that God has blessed me with. And it's a blessing today to be here to be able to share that with all of you. I get the question quite a bit, why do I still follow God? And it's a daily choice. I daily wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, God, whatever you want for today. I also get the question, how can I still trust God after Dalton's death? And this is how I answer it every time. God prepared me for that day. He prepared me. I have not had an easy life at all. When I was born, my parents were dating. So I am actually a child out of wedlock. And in Christian circles, Kids who are out of wedlock aren't looked on in the best view, which is sad to say. My parents broke up fairly shortly after I was born. I'm not sure about the dates there. But my mom, she was not a Christian lady when I was born. But by God's grace, she put me into Noah's Ark daycare. Ironic. And the lady there took my mom under her wing, and she showed her the gospel. She showed her the light of Christ. And when I was a year old, my mom came to Christ. And I am so thankful for that, because I grew up in the church, kind of. I grew up in the church since I was a year old. My mom was a single mother for 6 years before she married the most amazing guy in the world, and that's my stepdad. But my biological dad, he did fight for custody rights, and so I would go to his house every weekend. I spent most of the summers with my dad. He married my stepmom. I was like one or two, somewhere in there. So I grew up having four parents. I don't use stepmom, stepdad. I don't use that. They're mom and dad. All four parents are mom and dad. And my stepmom, she was amazing. I grew really, really close with my stepmom for the first 11 years of my life. She was just so, had such a beautiful character. She was not a Christian, but she was still so kind. Sorry, I'm going to cry. When ages 3 through 11, I was abused. I was verbally, physically, and sexually abused by my biological father. And that was hard. I didn't understand why. But through those years, when I was 3 years old, I put my trust in Christ. I was super young, but I got to see the evil, the sin in life versus the good Christian walk that my mother walked when she did a complete 180. But I grew up with that. I never told anyone because I was ashamed of it. I thought for some reason that the physical, sexual, and verbal abuse was my fault. I don't know. Like, it's just something I thought was my fault. But by God's grace, since then, I've seen that it wasn't. It was just God shaping my testimony to reach out to students and to children who have gone through abuse as well, and be able to show them that it does affect you, but God's right there. God put on my heart when I was a little child, Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And that verse got me through some of the most scariest days of my life. It was not unusual to have a gun put to my head and the question, "Give me one reason why I should let you live." That was a very normal weekend at my dad's house. But God's verse would come through my heart, and I'd be like, "Okay, God." And I'd just be at peace. Like, if this is the day you need to take me, this is the day. But by God's grace, when I was 11, I moved fully into my mother's house with my stepdad. And at that time, I think they had four kids. I don't really remember. But I moved full time in there. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I went from going back and forth, to being in one home. And I loved it. I was in church every Sunday, finally. I was in church every Wednesday. I got to be with friends, finally. And the reason behind why I moved into my mom's house was January 1st, 2009, my dad made the most selfish decision in my life. He murdered my stepmother. He left two of my brothers orphaned without a mother's love. They were 9 and 6 years old. I was 11. And that was hard. I didn't understand why he would do such a thing. I still don't understand to this day. But it was embarrassing. It was all in the news. My dad going to prison for murdering my stepmom. He lied about it until I was 15 years old when he finally took the plea bargain. But it was embarrassing growing up in a Christian school, I felt like I was all alone. I mean, growing up in a Christian school, everyone came from a single, like, I call it the perfect family. There's no perfect family, but in my mind, coming from a split home, the perfect family was you had your mom and dad, and if they had siblings, siblings. But growing up in a Christian school, I did not really have that. But God placed a special friend in my life in fifth grade, which is when my dad killed my stepmother. And through that friendship, God showed me comfort in, I'm not alone. There are people everywhere that have, maybe not the same testimony, but a similar testimony. And by that, we can show each other God's grace. We can show each other that God is there every step of the way. Well, when I was 13, I had to go to some counseling. Just when you're in a split home like that, you go through multiple tragedies. I also finally opened up about the abuse. We decided to put me into some counseling. And through the counseling, I was diagnosed with PTSD. PTSD is post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's what most military personnel will come home with. So I'm going into my teenage years, those awkward teenage years, and I'm told I have PTSD. What do you do with that? I was so embarrassed. I hid it from everyone, which with a mental illness, don't try to suppress it. It makes it worse. I found that out the hard way. But God helped me work through that. And through opening up and starting to work through the PTSD, I was able to minister in a juvenile detention center. I was able to minister to my bus kids. It was not uncommon to have a bus kid look at me and be like, you don't know what I'm going through. My dad's in prison and my mom's a single mother. And I just remember looking at the child and just kind of laughing and be like, I know exactly what you're going through. And that opened doors to plant the seed of the gospel, to show them that they can choose. They can choose to be different than their parents. And I was 15 and 16 throughout high school when I was in those two ministries, and I loved it, every minute of it, because I got to live out 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. God is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our time of need so we can comfort others in their time of need. And I really clung to those verses because I could see God working through me, and it made me super excited. I still wasn't open about my testimony, but only to those who I thought needed it. Well, when I was 15, I had to testify against my father in court. And if you've ever had to go through that, it's not easy. I mean, you're asked to speak against the guy who threatened to kill you every weekend. And I remember, after doing that, I got a call from my father threatening to get revenge one day. And I was so scared. I was like, God, why'd you give him as a father? What did I do to deserve this man as my father? God really worked on my heart. I was an angry, very bitter teenager. God worked on my heart, and he moved me to forgive my dad. The Bible speaks about honoring our parents, and that's not just honoring our parents who are the good parents. That's honoring the parents who are difficult to get along with. That's honoring the parents who by no means should ever be a parent, but God gave my dad to me. And so I started praying for him. I did keep in contact with him. I was trying to figure out ways to honor my father, and that's how I thought it would be. I'm like, okay, I'll just talk. I would talk with him, write letters to him, not often, but often enough. And then I would pray for him. And still to this day, I do still pray for him. And then fast forward to going to faith. Faith was not on my top choice to go to, but God, by his grace, he moved me and brought me to faith. And that was, faith is 300 students, maybe. And we're a little tiny school, so we're a family there. You know everyone, and I grew some amazing friendships. And God just let me work in the ministry there at the church that I attended with Dalton. And life was getting a little bit better, in my view. I had the blessing of going to college. I got to learn more about God, which I had been craving. Well, then Dalton and I started dating, and we were going to wait till after we graduated, but God had different plans, and that's by His grace. So we married July 27th, and 3 days later, he did pass away. And I just remember, I remember that day, it happened yesterday. And I was out in the water with him, and it was one of those that I knew he was gone. I was 97% sure before we ever got out of the water, Dalton was gone. I was 3% hopeful God would have a miracle set aside for me. But it was one of those, I remember out in the water that day. This was after a man came to me with a surfboard to help pull me in, because at this point I was exhausted. I had been fighting to keep Dalton alive. I had been fighting to keep myself alive. And it was one of those that I was on this guy's surfboard, and he was telling me, he's like, hold to it, keep a hold on it. And I remember in that moment, I just wanted to die. I did not want to live. I did not want to live without my best friend. I did not want to live with this pain. I was just thinking, why, God? You already took me through so much as a child. And here we are, 11 years later, with the same cycle. I'm going through a lot of pain. But this last summer, I went through the book of Ruth, really studying it out. And I remember when I was out in the water, just thinking through Ruth's life. And I prayed. I was hanging onto the surfboard with all my life, and I prayed out loud. I was like, God, I've been bitter before. I was bitter once before with my stepmom's death. Don't let me be bitter again. I don't know what you're doing with this, but I want you to use it. Use me to show God, to show others who you are, a kind, loving God, even in the midst of tragedy and hard circumstances. And I just remember praying this, and a Christian family was the one who picked both Dalton and I out of the water, and they went to the hospital with me. And I remember being at the hospital, and just when they gave me the word that he was gone, I prayed again. Okay, God, what's next? Where am I going to go next? What do I do? I'm down in St. Augustine all by myself. But through that, he was able to get my parents down there. It was 1, 2 in the morning, but he got my parents down there. He was with me. But the coolest thing, that the day Dalton died, I shared the gospel with 15 people. I don't know how I did it. The only explanation I have was that's God's grace. That was the power of God. That was not my strength. I was very beat up. I had a dislocated ankle. My hip had been severely messed up. So I was really sick. I could not walk very well. And the doctors had told me that, by all means, I should have died. And I didn't understand. I was like, God, why am I still here? And that's the share that all the glory goes to him. The next morning, my parents were helping me just kind of walk around the little place we were staying at. And I asked my parents, I was like, I want to go back down on the beach. And I did. And the song that God put in my heart as I walked back down to the beach that day was, "To God Be the Glory." And in the last 7 months, that's what that song has meant so much. To God Be the Glory. I got back into the water, only about to my knees, just because the panic started to set in a little bit. But I got back in the water because I knew, by God's strength, I can do anything. If it's in God's will, I can do anything. And so the last 7 months have not been easy. I'm okay with Dalton's death, but that does not erase the pain of it. I am okay because I trust God. I trust him. Do I have my off days? Yeah. The end of the month is my worst. I hate the end of the month because you have my wedding anniversary on the 27th. The day Dalton died would be on the 30th. And so it's all packed into 1 week. But backtrack to December. December of 2019, my dad had to go back up, or he didn't have to. My dad went back up for parole, and I did not want him to. There was just a lot of things that's happened in the last month, and I was like, my dad cannot get parole. And I went, and I actually spoke against my father once again at the parole meeting. And I did not want to do that alone. Originally, I thought Dalton was going to be there with me to be able just to be that encourager that I can do this, but it was God. I had to look to God for the comfort during that time because that was not a fun day. But through it all, I have learned so much in the last 7 months, and that's God is my strength. For me to wake up in the morning, it's kind of hard. I mean, I'm already not a morning person to begin with, but the depression of it, the survivor's guilt that I hold because I was the one who survived, those are hard struggles to deal with every morning. But it's God's word. Psalm 147, it's the psalm that Dalton and I did for devotions together the day he died. But it talks about God heals the brokenhearted for those who praise him. And that's all I want to do is just praise him, bring glory to him, because he blessed me with this unique testimony. He blessed me with a hard life to show that you can give God the glory even in the small things. So I have learned that following, trusting, and relying on God is a daily choice. Sometimes it's an hourly choice. Only I can choose to love and believe what God is guiding me through in life. I had to learn at a young age. I had to learn as a teenager. Okay, God, I choose. I choose today. I'm going to serve you. I'm not perfect because I am a sinner. But I am broken and shattered beyond repair. But my God, who created me, has more than enough power to heal my broken heart. And it's been truly a blessing to watch God heal me through my grief. I still have a long journey to go because being a widow at 22 is not easy. But at the same time, it's God, the one that all of us serve. He's the one who will heal the most shattered of hearts.